This is the Wednesday afternoon, May 15th, 2019. We are now in session. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Here.
Hardesty? Udaley? Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Legal counsel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during the City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify, unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience who would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you are filming the proceedings, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Very good. Thank you. First item, please, Carla. Item 437.
Revised residential solid waste and recycling collection rates and charges effective July 1, 2019.
Colleagues, this item, as I mentioned this morning, item 437 has been pushed to next week's council agenda. It will be a time certain at 4:10 p.m. next Wednesday afternoon. Staff at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability have requested more time to incorporate the guidance that the administrative rules for the Portland Clean Energy Fund will provide once published. Carla, please read the next item, 438.
Authorize the rates and charges for water and water-related services beginning July 1, 2019 to June 30, 2020, and fix an effective date.
And colleagues, there is a bit of a typo on some of the agendas. It says that I am bringing this with Commissioner Fritz. That is not accurate. I believe it's been corrected.
We'll have it fixed for the disposition.
Very
Sorry
good.
About
this
that.
Is Commissioner Fritz, and I want to acknowledge that. Commissioner Fritz.
Just to acknowledge, though, you do support it. And with your full knowledge and consent.
Without ruining the suspense, I do indeed.
This is not a protest in any way, shape, or form. Thank you very much. We are very happy to see each of the people who came today and to not have both chambers packed. Which has not always been the case over the years that I've been on council. Water Bureau Director Mike Stowe will give us the presentation.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Mike Stowe. I'm the Director of the Water Bureau, and I'm pleased to bring our rates to you. I'm joined at the table by Cecilia Huhn, our Finance Director. In the back to bail me out if I get in trouble, I have Kathy Cook and Corbett White from Customer Service. Following both the BES and water presentation, both presentations done, we have Janice Thompson from the CUB to present, and also Ryan Kinsella is going to present the letter from the Public Utility Board. The two co-chairs couldn't be here this afternoon. And on that note, I will continue. Water revenue. Our water business is a cost of service business, and we take in all the funds from various places that support our operation. What you're going to see here in terms of rates supports the budget that we have submitted. The vast majority of our budget comes from the selling of water, $191 million, the big blue blob you see on the slice of pie. The other items make smaller contributions to our rates, and if you wish to talk about those, we certainly can. But the bulk of the sales fund us. Rate summary for fiscal year 2019-20. Our retail water rate increase is 7.4%. We followed the guidance given by our commissioner and basically echoes what we have been doing in the past and will continue doing for several years, for at least the five-year forecast. Our system development charges increased 9.1%. I would add that that's actually a good news story. System development charges are based upon infrastructure in place, and this is an indication of the amount of money we've been putting in the water system. You invest in the system, then the value of the system goes up, and that increases system development charges. Our system development charges are what's called backward-looking. Basically, it's people paying for their share of what has already been put in place to serve them. The other kind are forward-looking, which is more like what Parks has. Then we also have fixed fees and charges. They contribute a fairly small amount to our budget and are mostly the installation of services, mains, hydrants, development fees, and all of these are based on cost of service. And we carefully monitor the cost of service and make adjustments accordingly. How will rates affect typical customer bills? I think this is a really good news story. A typical residential customer, their bill will go up by $2.90. I'm only going to talk about the far right column. Qualifying low-income residential customers, which is tier one customer, rate will go up by $1.46. And extremely low-income residential customers, what we call tier two, goes up 58 cents. Medium-sized commercial customers, which might be something like McDonald's or Albertsons, pretty heavy user of water, but certainly not largest by any means, goes up 39.48. What does that yield? We're still in the pretty low category, 1.4 gallons of water for a penny. If you wanted to compare that to your local grocery store, it's $1.49 a gallon. This is 177 times what you buy it for in the grocery store. It's kind of a neat number. Where are our bills set in relation to typical utility bills? We're slightly higher than waste, slightly higher than landline telephone for those who actually still have a landline telephone, and we're either cheaper or much cheaper than every other utility that you pay for. I think water is a very good deal. How do we compare to our sister cities? Both BES and water keep track of the same ones, so we're kind of comparable. You can see there that Portland is kind of right in the middle. We're happy to stay right in the middle. Current rate increase in forecast, keeping with the past, flat 7.4%. That's for 5 years, and this includes contributions that will be made over that period for the filtration plant. How do our system development charges compare with others? Always a controversial topic, it seems. I suppose we could be lower, but if you look at the chart, you can see we're one of the lowest things in our area for SDCs.
Is that for everybody's SDCs or just for the water bureaus?
I'm sorry.
Is that for all system development charges?
Just for the water bureaus. These are just water bureau SDCs. We're the lowest. Assistance programs. This is why I brought Kathy and Corbett, if we want to talk about this a little bit more, because they can talk about it. Qualifying low-income customers receive a discount of $21.07 per month. That's based on Portland's MFI. There's two numbers floating around out there that people cite, MHI and MFI, and I'm not an expert on either one, but we use Portland's MFI.
Which, and we know what that one stands for, is median family income, right?
I know what it stands for, but I'm not sure I could articulate the difference between them. But Kathy can. Qualifying extremely low-income customers receive a discount of $33.70 per month as of this new rate. There are approximately 7,000 people in the combined low-income program at this moment. The program also includes a crisis voucher of $500 and a multifamily crisis assistance that basically is designed to preclude eviction or help preclude eviction.
Commissioner Hursty.
Thank you, Mayor. What is the criteria for extremely low-income people, and how is that determined?
I'll have Corbett come help me so I don't tangle it up.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Say your name.
Corbett White. And extremely low are at 30% or below the median family income in the city of Portland.
Thank you. That is extremely low income. Thank you.
That concludes our formal presentation. If there are no further questions, and we'll be...
Mike, I have a couple of questions.
Sir.
Now, this presentation is in line with the presentation you gave us during the budget cycle. So there's very few surprises here. I'm curious how we are doing in moving people to electronic bills and in particular monthly bills. Are we continuing to make progress? And maybe we could have Kathy come up and just tell us what the history has been. People do have the option of getting monthly bills. Some people like the convenience. Kathy, how are we doing in that regard?
Say your name.
Mike would like me to say my name first. It's Kathy Cook. A pleasure to be here. We have 45,000 people on e-bill, close to that on auto pay.
45,000?
Yeah. And our monthly bill people, darn it, I was going to just tell you right off the top of my head. I am blanking. I will absolutely get back to you on that.
That's fine. Now, that 45,000 number is a big jump, Kathy, isn't it?
It is a big jump. We have had tremendous success with going with Invoice Cloud as our payment processor, and they've been very helpful in the ease of the process, and so it's been really popular.
And does that particular software also allow you to send special messages to people?
Yes. We have the ability, although not as many people have taken advantage of it as we had hoped, but one of the things that we liked in particular was the ability to, if you had maybe an elderly parent or on the opposite side, a kid in college where they still want to have their independence and get the bill on their own, we can notify a person of interest, a family member, that would warn them if somebody was to be in danger of shut off or at some stage that they would like.
So that's the, and you mentioned that a couple of years ago. So for example, if you had an elderly parent, mm-hmm. and you wanted some notification of if they missed the bill.
Correct.
And had some challenges, under this new system, you can get, with the permission of all the parties, you can get that notice.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Excellent.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Everybody here from somebody else from the Public Utility Board?
We got to take.
No, I think we're done. The yes. Take it later.
Okay. I am.
Should we have read the second ordinance as well?
Let's finish the first one. We're going to read them separately. So does that complete the presentation on the first ordinance? Do we have any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Okay, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Now, please call item number 439, please.
Revise sewer and stormwater rates, charges, and fees in accordance with the fiscal year 2019-2020 sewer user rate study.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
All I'll say, Director Jordan, is Commissioner Fritz noted earlier that it wasn't that long ago that this room would be filled with interested and concerned citizens about their utility bills. And it is a function, I think, about how far we've come and how much faith people have in their public utilities that I don't even think we've had a question in our community budget forums, which is also something of a record. And people did have the chance to put a question in a glass. The other thing I just want to mention, because I think it puts everything in context, is that the people that we serve with water, sewer, stormwater services get a combined bill. That combined bill this year will come in at under 5%. But it is worth noting, just for the record, that about two-thirds of your bill is sewer stormwater and about a third is water. And that was a subject of great confusion a number of years ago because some of our critics talked about the water bill as if it was a single bill just paying water services and left out the fact that we're also paying for sewer stormwater services. So welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. It's our pleasure to be here today. My name is Mike Jordan. I'm the director of the Bureau of Environmental Services. With me today is Jonas Beery, who is our business services manager and guru of finance. So most of this presentation will fall to his hands. What my job to do is today is to just reframe and remind the council that we were here before you about 2 months ago talking about our budget. What you will hear today regarding this rate ordinance is based on that budget. It's based on what you heard before. I don't know if we're driving here. Yeah, next one. So I just want to remind the council that our budget is based on the strategic plan that we put in place a couple of years ago. These are the values in that plan. We have tried to gear the new programmatic approach to the budget to align our programs towards these outcomes and values, and they are what drive really all of our decisions. The budget you have before you for this budget cycle was designed within that value set predominantly to enhance or maintain the levels of service we currently are delivering to Portlanders, again, aligned with the strategic plan priorities. But probably that third bullet on this slide is really the most important, and that's support asset reinvestment. And I will add in the post combined sewer overflow era. This city and the Bureau of Environmental Services spent a good decade and a half intensely oriented towards solving that combined sewer overflow problem. Spent $1.5 billion nearly, and quite frankly, it sucked all the air out of the room for everything else we do. And so we have now a maintenance challenge before us that we are on. We're in about our third year of a journey of trying to get to that sustainable level of investment in the physical infrastructure that we have to make it sustainable over the long term. And that's really been one of the big focuses of this budget. The next slide just will remind you of the actual dollar amounts and what it goes for. You've heard me say this before. This pie chart is telling for this bureau. Of the $588.5 million proposed budget, 69% of it goes to capital. It's either paying debt service on capital we've already invested, it's making capital improvements in this year's budget, or we're putting money aside for future capital improvements. So again, a huge part of our job is really to try and figure out how can we maintain the system in such a way that it delivers that level of service for Portlanders in a sustainable way over the long term. And that's how we've shifted the financial approach in the last few years. And I'm going to turn it over to Jonas, and he's going to talk about the rates.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, Jonas Beery, the Business Services Manager for BES. I've been called a lot of things, Mike. Financial guru, that's another one I'll add to the list, so yeah, thank you very much.
Put it on your resume.
So this slide, just a reminder that the vast majority of our revenues come from sewer and stormwater rates, the blue and the brown. That's about 90% of our revenues come directly from those rates. We get no general fund, so it's almost exclusively from rates and a bit from system development charges and other fees. Excuse me. This is a snapshot of what the typical single-family residential bill will look like for fiscal 1920. It's an increase of about $2 a month, 2.95%. You can see that divided out about 60% for your sanitary costs and about 40% for stormwater costs. This slide, I think, is it's one of my favorites. I think it's one of the most important to recognize kind of where we've been and where we're going. This shows the a history and projection of our annual rate increases. If you extended this further back in time, 5 years, you would see increases north of 5 and north of 6%. And at that time, you would have seen rates projected that were north of 4%. And so it's an indication both of where we've come and how we've managed the financial condition of our Bureau, but also how we've managed the future financial condition of that Bureau and our commitment to keep rates below 3%. It also shows that this is the third year, fiscal 1920 will be the third consecutive year that we've delivered on that commitment to stay at increase below 3%. I've said this last year, I believe, but I'll say it again. I don't believe there's another public utility in the United States that can claim a future rate increase that low and continue to invest responsibly in infrastructure. Want to show you how we compare to our peers. As was previewed in the water presentation, we're just about in the middle. I'll also flag that if you look closely, you can see the percentage increases for the peers on the list. Most of them are above 3%. That's been a trend for a few years. It's a trend we expect to continue. So what we expect is that we will continue to compare more favorably over time as we stay the course that we're on.
Is that in part because so many of our peer cities are just starting their combined sewer overflow.
Commissioner. Good question. That's part of it. These are not all CSO cities, but I think what it is reflective of is that we've done that work a decade ago and over the past couple of decades. So we've already baked that cost into our profile. We've also continued to invest in infrastructure rather than kind of kicking the can, and some of our peers are now just catching up to that, and that's where you're seeing some of those increases as well. I won't dwell on this. It's the exact same program and information that you saw for the Water Bureau. We participate. It's a single low-income assistance program, so we participate in that as well. You can see the impacts of both the low-income discount and the extreme low-income discount on the sewer stormwater component of the bill. The bottom bullet, I do want to flag, we have a separate and distinct discount program, the Clean River Rewards Program, which recognizes property owners who invest in stormwater infrastructure facilities on their property. And so that prevents that stormwater from going into the system, and they are eligible to receive a discount on their bill for participation in that program. Like water, we also have system development charges. Like water, they are on a reimbursement basis, meaning they pay for infrastructure that's already been built. For fiscal 1920, those are increasing at about 4 to 7%, which is consistent with what we expected last year. And you can see a couple of examples of increases on some specific examples there. We also have a number of permits and fees that we collect charges for. These are on a cost recovery basis, the cost of staff and administration to process those. And so those fees will change based upon changes in those costs. You can see a couple of them, the building plan review and land use review fees increased a bit more than we might have typically expected. These increases are typically due to things like COLA and those kind of general fund overhead increases. A couple of these increased a bit more than in prior years due to impacts of the reclassification exercises that recently occurred, and then some expansions to those services. So flag those for you. Last slide is just kind of summarizes both the water presentation and sewer. Here you can see the combined bill for a typical single-family residential customer, the green being the BES component, blue being the water component, and you can see that combined increase for fiscal 1920, about 4.5%, that equates to about $5 monthly or $15 for a quarterly billed customer. And that is the end of our presentation.
Very good. Any questions? Public testimony on this item, Carla.
No one signed up.
Very good.
And if I may, I believe we have some invited testimony.
Oh, yeah, sure. Bring them up.
Janice Thompson from CUB, and we have a statement from the pub.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
By the way, I think one of the reasons we've seen less drama over the past few years is we have two separate oversight bodies which report to us on a regular basis but are part of this budget process, and tell us, give us specific feedback in terms of the presentations. Janice, you want to go first?
Sure. Janice Thompson, Oregon Citizens Utility Board, or CUB. First comment actually applies to both bureaus, and it relates to staffing level for the Portland Utility Board, which you're going to hear from via Ryan. Just a bit of background is that, like all bureaus, both the Water Bureau and BES, through the general fund overhead model, contribute to the City Budget Office, which does analysis for the City Council. However, in addition, both bureaus pay for the staff person for the Public Utility Board. That person has to be housed somewhere, and it's at that person is at CBO. But they do analysis for the PUB. This recommendation and reconfiguration of this Public Utility Board was linked to a Blue Ribbon Commission that met in 2014. I was a member on, and we definitely supported this this reconfiguration of the PUB with the staffing capacity. However, at the March Council budget sessions, I did express concern about a 50% increase from a 1 FTE staffing level to the 1.5 FTE that was proposed by CBO in its own budget related to this PUB staffing. So it is still at the 1.5 level, and we are still concerned about this increase, especially since the PUB meeting frequency and other dynamics just has led to both agendas and attendance levels that just are not consistently robust. However, when we raised this issue earlier, at the very least, we requested more analysis, which was done by CBO, and I want to particularly thank Jessica Kennard for kind of reaching out and touching base with me. So that means that the 1.5 FTE level, which is this increase in the mayor's budget, has been more thoroughly vetted than I feel like it was prior. But I just want to highlight that I think CUB will continue to be concerned about this and would just request that continued work by CBO and the commissioners in charge and the PUB itself in terms of exploring efficiencies and evaluating that staffing configuration is requested because for a number of reasons, it might make sense for this next year, but whether or not it's really warranted in the long term requires continued review. So that's comments that apply to both bureaus. In terms of the Water Bureau, one issue that CUB has consistently expressed concern about relates to our not supporting use of ratepayer money for decorative fountains. In our view, that's a decorative function. Just because it uses water does not constitute to us thinking that it's an essential element of a water system. So this has been kind of a repeat comment, and our understanding was that $600,000 in the Water Bureau's budget for this for maintenance of these fountains was going to be a one-time occurrence in last year's budget, the budget cycle that we're currently in. So it is disappointing to see this, what was supposed to be a one-time thing, repeated again. At the same time, it would be really good if just a definitive decision could get made on this, so this kind of bouncing back and forth could be resolved. And so I think that merits further conversation. I would like to see that decision come down on the side of it, not being a Water Bureau cost. But I think there's just, I mean, the amount of time I think people have spent talking about this is just not warranted. And so resolving it one way or another does seem prudent and on any number of levels.
Well, I think the point is that we have said that we disagree and have made that choice.
Well, when I was told that something was going to be a one-time thing, I don't think there was a complete. So, again, it could well be, it's a matter of opinion, and it's already been decided to be a certain way. And in that case, I think aligning the maintenance dollar allocations and the allocation of control of those assets would make sense, because I think that's a little bit of the rub here, is that there's not current alignment in the way that you've mentioned. Second point regarding the Mount Tabor, definitely support the mayor's budget inclusion of general fund dollars for the final installment of the $4 million over 4 years commitment made by the council that was linked to, you know, a very significant agreement reached back in 2015 between the Water Bureau and the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association. Originally the CBO had recommended not to do that. I think it was prudent to move ahead with that in the mayor's budget and support that. But I do want to highlight that.
Excuse me, if I could ask a question,
sure,
Mayor.
Sure.
So if we did not do that this year, what would be the downside of using those resources elsewhere?
Well, if you're talking about just delaying a year,
yes.
I don't know that would be the end of the world. I think there would be delays. I think there's, you know, in terms of getting the work done.
Go ahead, Janice. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I think there would be delays in getting the work done. I think it continues to open this door of like, well, maybe it doesn't have to be general fund money, which I think it should be general fund money. And I think it could potentially just undermine, like I say, this kind of, you know, challenging resolution of issues. Would it be the end of the world? No.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So regardless of the exact timing, however, I do want to just highlight, you know, thinking ahead to the future about what comes next. I mean, there, you know, for example, that 2015 resolution did include the possibility of the City Council considering a $1.5 million allocation to replace some existing non-historic lighting. That has not moved forward. It was only, you know, a may consider, not have to consider item. CUB, you know, just doesn't see the logic of using Water Bureau funds for that purpose. But this, just as it might, you know, might come up in the future on that conversation, there's probably going to be other historic preservation issues come up in Mount Tabor. And I would just argue that now is the time to just put those concerns into the instead of having like a little Mount Tabor bucket where those concerns are addressed, put those historic preservation budget requests into a citywide context, which seems just kind of general prudent public policy at this point in time, given that a certain kind of hurdle has been achieved, but it also seems good from an equity perspective. But I just want to highlight that as being something that CUB will continue to monitor in terms of, you know, use of ratepayer money for functions that are just not integral to the system, and that could include the, you know, potential ideas in the future related to historic preservation. A final comment related to the Water Bureau is this budget really had minimal staffing changes from the previous year's budget. And I think that made a lot of sense, particularly in this time when the Water Bureau is undergoing strategic planning, and so there may be that could inform staffing configurations and next steps. So, but I would just suggest that strategic planning include an assessment of kind of a right sizing, at the same time, just because there was a level year this year, I don't think should be viewed as like, oh, that automatically means next, or I guess it's 2021 at this point, that budget year can also be level. But nevertheless, I think some right-sizing conversations, I assume, but I would argue really should be part of the strategic planning discussion. So those are the comments in terms of what ended up and didn't end up in the Water Bureau's budget and some thoughts about kind of some of the things coming next.
Great, that's excellent.
In terms of turning now to the Water Bureau, BES, I gotta get the right piece of paper. A couple of look back items. A year ago at this time, there were some fairly last minute dynamics between the Water Bureau and PBOT with regards to the appropriate cost share for street sweeping. Street sweeping is a valid expense for BES, but the problem was a problematic process and inadequate documentation of PBOT costs and a kind of a both service and science-based discussion. At that time, a year ago, Commissioner Fish kind of made the best of a bad situation by urging the council to adopt a budget note, kind of laying the groundwork for what I'm pleased to report was a much better process this time around. And so embedded in both budgets is a street sweeping related interagency agreement based on a sound science kind of service level methodology. And I think that's a very helpful step forward in terms of, and want to thank both BES and PBOT for that effort. In terms of moving forward, I also think BES, and it has done its strategic planning, however, it's now doing some important work in terms of staff reorganization potentials and things like that. And I think kind of a right-sizing conversation is urged in that regard. Superfund is always a big deal for BES, and I will be coming back to listen to the 4 o'clock presentation on that. But I want to end with a little longer discussion related to Clean River Rewards. As noted by BES, there are about a little over 35,000 participants receiving this typical monthly discount of about a little over $9. This is a discount program that CUB has been concerned about for quite some time, from both an equity perspective as well as whether as a cost benefit. I mean, are the system benefits of actions taken to qualify for the discount being adequately evaluated from both a scientific perspective and an economic cost-benefit perspective. Just to highlight the equity issue, one factor in somebody qualifying is relates to trees and the number of trees. And we just know that, you know, there are different neighborhoods with different levels of tree cover, and, you know, there's equity issues when that's kind of one of the hooks. Until now, however, the catch has been BS wasn't far enough along in its stormwater system planning to quite have the information it needed to do, you know, this analysis. So that actually has meant that along the way, I've been like very supportive of the Bureau doing that work and have requested, you know, periodic briefings. So I'm kind of trying to keep up on that. So that's kind of an ongoing set of planning. But it had just gotten to the point where it seemed like, okay, now we have enough data that we should really be able to dive into this. That then dovetails with another topic that I've been kind of identifying and saying, oh, this is coming, relates to updating the rate study, kind of related to the methodology for setting both sewer rates and the stormwater rates. Those documents, old is not necessarily bad, but those documents are getting older and older, and particularly on the stormwater side, there's just been enormous changes in terms of sophistication, in terms of stormwater management tools, and so finally, just in this last year, it was like, okay, the stormwater system planning is kind of seems like it's getting a critical mass of data. It's time to kick in that rate study. So that process is getting underway. And one element of that rate study relates to evaluation of this Clean River Rewards discount. So I'm going to be monitoring really carefully this whole rate study process, which will be a couple of years. But I will just, I'll be particularly intrigued to see kind of what it says in terms of this Clean River Rewards discount. You know, we're approaching it with an open mind. It may be that it kind of checks out, but if it doesn't, CUB would be very open to modifying it or even possibly phasing it out. But, you know, in terms of trying to think ahead and what this group might be faced with, I think it's probably fair to say that if it is phased out in the future, there would be some interesting political dynamics that would come before you. But that's coming, and I think it is a very important discussion that, you know, hopefully is now going to be informed by the stormwater system planning work, having gotten to a certain level of doneness, if you will, coupled with this, it's now time to do the rate study and but with regards to the Clean River discount program, it just could mean some interesting future dynamics. And with that, that's...
Mayor?
Commissioner Fish.
This morning when we took up the service coordination team, we acknowledged that was the brainchild about 10 years ago of Commissioner Randy Leonard. And I just want to acknowledge that the idea behind inviting the CUB in to be a watchdog for our residential ratepayers was Commissioner Steve Novick. And we're the only public utility that they provide that level of oversight over. Their primary work is doing oversight over private utilities. And I just want to acknowledge how grateful we are for the partnership.
Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, City Council. My name is Ryan Kinsella. I'm with the City Budget Office. I'm standing in today for the Portland Utility Board analysts, and which supports the Portland Utility Board, but is housed in the City Budget Office. The chairs of the Portland Utility Board have provided the following testimony that I will read into the record on their behalf, and then paper copies have also been distributed.
Thank you.
The PUB serves as a citizen advisory body for the Portland Bureau of Environmental Services and the Portland Water Bureau. The public utilities make up approximately 20% of the total city budget, and the PUB was created to provide year-round oversight and recommendations to the mayor and council for the water, sewer, and stormwater utilities. Each PUB member invested substantial time over the past 8 months reviewing the proposed program offers, operating budgets, major additions, and adjustments to the 5-year capital improvement plans, decision package, and the City Budget Office analyses for both bureaus. The PUB wants to take this opportunity to publicly thank both bureau directors and staff that have dedicated time to provide clear information and support PUB through our budget review process. Overarching themes of the board discussion on the bureau budgets included concerns with the overall affordability of the utilities, the capacity of both bureaus to deliver the ambitious capital programs envisioned, and the importance of performance metrics that are still under development. There was just one decision package to consider, a request from the Portland Water Bureau for the required preservation work at Mount Tabor. The PUB is supportive of the mayor's proposal to continue to fund the final year of the commitment with general fund dollars and avoid any rate impacts for this project. With the shift to program offer budgeting, the bulk of the PUB time was spent understanding the base budget within this new framework. And there were three key issues to highlight. First, I'll touch upon the issue of affordability. The combined rate increase in the mayor's proposed budget is 4.5%, and although consistent with council direction, the PUB remains concerned that the ongoing annual increase outpaces inflation year after year. At the current planned rate increase, the utility bill will increase another 20% by fiscal year 2024, up to approximately $424 for its typical single-family quarterly bill. We are concerned about the impact on ratepayers, and particularly those most vulnerable. PUB is very supportive of the low-income discount program to mitigate some of that concern. The program that started last July provides a good foundation and a model to follow. The PUB advocates for a good data collection and program evaluation later this year to ensure success and identify areas for the enhancement to maximize the impact. The challenge of affordability for multifamily units is a broader city concern that cannot just be addressed by the two utility bureaus. All council and other city partners need to be thinking about a holistic approach to get at affordability for multifamily units. Next, I'll briefly discuss the monitoring of staffing levels. The new budget process does not require FTE changes to be discrete decision packages. However, the PUB noted an increase of 20 positions within the BES requested base budget. Some of the increase this year is a shift from contracted work, and PUB supports addressing the capacity gap to deliver on capital projects. PUB is not debating the need for specific position changes requested. However, there is a general concern for the long-term impacts on the financial plan with the risk of a slowing economy that could impact revenues needed to support the new ongoing staffing expenses. Staffing levels will be an area the PUB will continue to monitor for both bureaus as it impacts rates and affordability. Finally, I will discuss the need to focus on performance metrics. A critical priority for the PUB is an early development and implementation of meaningful and measurable performance metrics to monitor success of the programs at the Water Bureau and in the Bureau of Environmental Services. The PUB recognizes that the Water Bureau is in the midst of a strategic planning effort that impacts metric development and environmental services working to align metrics with their strategic plan and equity plan. Both bureaus are also working through the shift to the program offer budgeting. However, the effectiveness in both bureaus depends on developing a budget process that includes key metrics that can be used to evaluate services and program offers against measurable outcomes. It was challenging for PUB to evaluate program offer budgets in the absence of performance measure data, and we are committed to working with both bureaus in the coming months to support the development of effective metrics to track programs and impacts of decisions. PUB looks forward to continuing to work with bureaus with you, Mayor, and the commissioners to encourage utility operations and investments that ensure safety, value, transparency, and financial sustainability of these systems for the customers of Portland. Council created PUB to provide citizen oversight of the utility bureaus, and they appreciate the opportunity to provide feedback at this point in the budget process. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions? Come on up, Mike.
We thought we would take this. Kathy found the answer to Commissioner Fish's question, and we can deliver it now.
I can't not know the answer. It was 23,500, so monthly statement, folks.
Good. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Public testimony on this item, Carla.
No one signed up.
All right. Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Our next item is a time certain at 4 p.m. We're in recess till that time.